Bob, you're going to be doing one of the seminars at the WPS Farm Show, talking about alternative energy with building integrated photovoltaic. If I pronounced that correctly, what's this all about?
Yep.
What's this all about?
Well, what we're doing is we're putting solar panels on roofs, which isn't a new and novel idea by any stretch. But what we're doing is integrating them into either standing seam metal roof panels, you know, the painted ribbed kind of steel that you would see on a lot of, especially commercial buildings, but even some residential buildings, as well as membrane roofing. If you have a flat roof membrane of a certain type, you have to be a little more careful on that. But you're basically integrating this into the building so you don't have that big, heavy, glaring panel looking at you. In contrast, what you have is a nice-looking roof that actually is producing energy.
So how does it absorb the energy then?
Yeah, well, it's an amorphous thin film laminate that you actually laminate to the metal roof. It has a little a stainless steel core to it, and then crushed silicon on top. That technically, you'd have to ask my solar specialist about the neurons and the neutrons and the protons and the electrons and all that stuff, and how it makes how it actually does it. But there are two leads that are coming out, two wires that come out of the top of every panel that we then run into the ridge cap. Run it through the disconnect switch into an inverter, and then we actually chase it back into the power grid.
Now, does the roof have to be tilted a certain degree towards the sun?
One of the nice things about solar thin film laminates is that you don't have to, they're not as directionally critical. There's a slight drop off between the optimum, which is an 8-foot and 12-foot slope, an 8-12 slope, to a 4-12 or to a flat. But it's not nearly as pronounced as the big old panels that most people typically associate with solar power generation. Those have to be directed pretty directly at the sun, otherwise they really drop off in efficiency. So thin film gains efficiencies in the morning as well as in the evenings, as well as on cloudy days, continues to produce energy, and it's not nearly as slope dependent.
Now, that was always something that was kind of a drawback to solar in Wisconsin, is there enough sunlight and direct sunlight to make these things pay for themselves?
Well, and that's a very good question, and I guess the answer to that would be a couple of things. First off, depending on the technology that you're integrating, just thin film versus crystalline panels, for instance, the thin film is going to be more efficient on cloudy days, but also, if you look at it globally, you have a Germany, who is second in the world to Spain in terms of its use of solar energy. Germany's sun looks a lot like Wisconsin's sun in the sense of cloud cover and that type of thing. Of course, you end up having only half the sun here you do in Arizona, but what most people do is they weigh the cost payback, and you can actually run return on investment calculations that are very accurate, saying, hey, we have X amount of hours per day of sun average over the year over a 30-year period, so this is what your payback is. And it seems to make sense for folks.
How fast can you pay these back?
The quickest paybacks we've seen are on some of the largest installations. Those would go down to the 6 to 7 year payback time frame. But a typical residential or a relatively small project, you'd be looking at a payback somewhere in that 10 to 12-year neighborhood.
Now, is this something on a residential use that you put in, after the meter so that, in effect, you're just feeding your own electric use?
You run it into your breaker box, and it will backfeed through your meter. So if you are, it really doesn't matter where that energy is produced, because electrical energy is a lot like currency, a lot like change cash, if you will, in the sense that it's very easily transportable. It's universal. If you have a greater need in the building than you're producing on the roof, which is most often the case, your meter spins forward, but it spins forward more slowly. And if you have a greater power production on the roof than you do in your building, the meter spins backward. So which energy are you using, grid energy or your own energy, really doesn't matter, but you are contributing back to the grid, and you're getting paid for every kilowatt that you're producing up on the roof.
Now, is this something economically feasible to go on, say, a large dairy barn or a large machine shed out on a farm?
Yeah, we're actually proposing a number of projects that are very large. For one of them is for a dairy farm, another one is for a large potato warehouse that is a very good thing. And the reason that it's a good thing for those people is a number of things. First off, the economies of scale kick in, so you end up having a cheaper per watt installation, which is kind of the way the solar industry keeps track of where it's at, how much does it cost per watt, but also because there are rural grants available, potentially available through the USDA, where much of the cost of this, up to 25% of the cost of these, can be defrayed, and that's on top of the 30% tax credit, the increased depreciation, and the focus on energy grants. So if you get a USDA grant, for instance, you could literally see about 70% of these panels being paid for, and that would drop your paybacks into that 4, 5, and 6 year neighborhood for a large array.
What about in the winter? I mean, you get bright sunshine, but very cold temperatures. How does that affect this?
Well, the biggest thing is not the cold temperatures. In fact, the solar panels produce better energy when they're colder than they do when they're hotter, but you have a lot less sun, of course, in the wintertime. So that's the biggest enemy of them, is not so much the cold, but sun, the lack of sun, just because of, obviously, it's low in the sky. But we have a couple of different, one of them is a system that actually elevates, if you have a large dairy barn, for instance, with a relatively flat roof, or in the case of potato warehouses where they're relatively flat roofs, where you actually have a rack that's suspended just slightly above the roof level that allows snow and ice to fall through them and continues to produce energy even after snowfall.
All right. Now, if someone, the session is going to be Wednesday afternoon at 1. If someone's going to attend, anything in particular they should bring along with them to get more out of it?
You know, that's a good question. Just bring an open mind. But the big thing is don't rule anything out until you've looked at the possibilities. It might just make sense.